Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
This week, we are talking part three, Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, big blowout at the end. We're also going to be talking Vanderpump Rules and, of course, Real Housewives of New York.
And then we have interviews with Jax Taylor. He is revealing everything about the Vanderpump Rules reunion they shot. And Eric, you interviewed Idan and Alon Allende
from Mexican Dynasties, and they were so much fun.
Yes. And then, of course, we're going to finish things up with Rose and Thorn. Let's get to it.
He lost a tooth?
I wrote the same thing, Eric.
I mean, come on.
That, okay, so what we're referring to, for those of you who don't know, is when discussing the infamous belt situation in NeNe's closet this season, the ladies are talking about what we didn't see in that whole scuffle. And apparently, NeNe choked a producer and pushed him up against a wall. Was that what it was? And he ended up cracking a tooth.
Yeah.
First of all, just like Candy said, we kind of thought it was like a playful situation. And then NeNe comes in and she said, I said, get out. And at that point, I felt a hand on my back and my belt came off and I went forward. So at that point, I was like, okay, you know what? She means it. And then once I walked on out the closet, that's when I saw the man's shirt ripped. And then I saw her choking up the producer.
And someone else had scratches. I couldn't really track how many people were injured and who had which injuries. But, I mean, Candy was like, he lost a tooth. And he was like, well, I heard he chipped a tooth.
His tooth got knocked up.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I didn't know.
He went to the hospital.
Really? I heard his tooth was cracked. But nonetheless, it didn't give me the right to touch him.
Either way.
That's insane.
I was really surprised that NeNe didn't even seem very apologetic.
At all.
If I were NeNe and I were in this situation, I would be like, oh my God, I'm sorry that this happened to you. Let me like.
I would feel completely embarrassed that all of that information was coming to light. And yeah, I would be giving huge apologies.
To everyone. I mean,
everyone.
The production, everyone who was there. I mean, especially the person who lost their tooth. I mean, come on. That's one of my biggest fears. I have nightmares about that, like
Aaron
waking up without teeth.
The same nightmare.
Apparently, it means that you're like worried about like money, but like who's not?
I've heard it means that you hate women.
No, you
don't. I swear. It means you're misogynistic.
That cannot possibly be true.
Aaron took a women's studies course in college, and that's what the professor said.
Oh, my God. I'm horrified.
Oh,
Well, I went to the dentist last Friday and everything's doing just fine in my mouth now, so I don't have any fears.
Okay.
So I love women again.
Okay, great.
But I always have, just to clarify. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and this was a development that happened just last week, at the end of last week, was Eva's ex that she refers to, you know, at the reunion that they had kind of talked about previously, the reason why she was kind of moving different addresses and all of that. He was arrested for domestic violence. So this is from BravoTV.com when we covered it on the Daily Dish Vertical. Kevin McCall was taken into custody on Monday, April 15th for domestic violence. A spokesperson for the LA County Sheriff's Department confirmed to People Mag. He was booked on one felony count of injuring a spouse or cohabitant, Page Six reported. He was released on Tuesday, April 16th after posting a $75,000 bond, and he's scheduled to appear in court on April 30th. Eva actually spoke on the whole thing while she was co-hosting the Ricky Smiley morning show. So Eva said, "Domestic violence is very, very real. I went through domestic violence. I finally found the courage to come up and talk about it a couple years ago about what I went through with Kevin," she shared. "I feel bad for women that have to deal with it, and it's actually not a laughable matter. It's something that actually makes you feel so little, so you don't want to talk about it, but it really sucks."
And by the way, this is why, Marlo, you can't be telling people that you don't believe them, because what ends up happening is something far worse.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just the fact that they were even calling into question what Eva was saying about her ex. Believe women.
They also, another shout out to the after show, because they reference Marlo kind of saying that she doesn't believe Eva and she thinks that she's shady. And she feels like she has some kind of money problems that she's hiding.
"I don't trust Eva. Eva's a compulsive liar.
Yeah, but you guys are okay.
Something about her just isn't right."
It just, let the article speak for itself.
Right, exactly. And I feel like, you know, my relationship with Eva over the course of the season definitely changed. By the end, it really switched for me. And like when I saw her go through the wedding and everything that she went through and then learning more about her past and more about Marley's father that she's been trying to escape from, like, I really started to feel for Eva. So I'm just kind of surprised that that's not happening across the board with everyone else.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the falling out. I mean, it's Nene and Cynthia.
Here's where I did agree with Nene. Cynthia looks guilty as hell.
Yeah, she is guilty.
You think? Well, we don't know.
Well, she keeps going back and forth. I couldn't keep track.
I think what she's ultimately saying is she didn't know for sure Kenya was coming. But does it really matter? She knew that, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it because all confusing.
Right. Well, I think to your point, and I think to Nene's point, at the end of the day, no matter what, Cynthia knew there was a chance that Kenya might show up to the event, and she just did not give Nene the heads up. So whether she knew that day, whether she knew, you know, just before, whether Candy told her, like, who knows?
If she knew it was a possibility.
Right. And I think that's all that Nene felt, and Nene did feel betrayed, and I kind of get that. But my question is this something bigger that's happening, and Nene's just using this as the way in to just stop being friends with Cynthia? There has to be something bigger than this one particular party that involves Kenya. But what is it?
I don't know. I mean, I think watching all those like clips back to back and Andy being like, "But why did you say to Mike?" Da, da, da. To me, it's the principle of like, why did Cynthia lie to her best friend?
Yeah.
For something splashy on camera? Like, that's not cool.
Right. And I think to Nene's point too, she feels like Cynthia kind of unfairly defends Kenya, and we've seen her do that in previous seasons. And then I think maybe Nene doesn't feel like she gets the same respect from Cynthia as a friend. But it's kind of like, was Nene just looking for an excuse to end her friendship with Cynthia?
I mean, could be.
Right?
She has a history of dropping people very quickly.
Yeah. And I think they kind of address that too. They're like, once you do one wrong thing to Nene, you're cut off forever. And that's sort of like, why can't you forgive? Like, everyone does make mistakes. And I think at one point, kind of off to the side, Eva and Tanya are kind of like, well, you can't make mistakes in this group because you do one thing and that's the end for you. And that does feel kind of true.
You can't make mistakes in this group.
It was interesting to me that Marlo was very much like, they're going to work it out. They'll be friends again.
Well, because Marlo and Nene worked it out after, what, 4 years of not being friends? So, I mean, if I feel like you can welcome Marlo back into your life, I think you can welcome Cynthia back over something like this. One interesting thing, though, that I noticed right before they cut to a commercial break, Cynthia said, it's just not enough money.
It's just not enough money.
And I was like, what is she talking about?
What was she talking about?
Is it the whole thing? Is she like, this is too much for me? Like, I'm going to back down? Like, I don't know. But like, it was interesting that they chose to keep that in because it seemed a little bit like, oh, what is she saying?
I don't think I caught that. But yeah, that's huge.
It's like, I just feel like maybe everything that she went through with Noelle last year and now that she has this really great relationship with Mike, maybe she's thinking about, this is all too much stress. She says it in this part of the reunion. She's sort of like, I'm not welcoming in any more issues that are making me upset or stressed out when I don't have to be. She has enough kind of to worry about, especially with Noelle being in college and all of that, you know, and launching a new business and all. I don't know. Is this the end of Cynthia?
We shall see.
At least on Atlanta.
Right.
I guess we'll see.
The other thing that just struck me as odd is how Andy ended the reunion with a prayer.
Yeah, it was his idea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was interesting. I sort of expected, too, that he would have had a gift for Portia because at the end of the New Jersey reunion, they all gifted him something for baby Ben.
Mm.
And I thought maybe...
But see, if he started with Portia, he'd have to with everyone that got pregnant.
That's
true. That's just a lot of baby gifts.
Well, I think Nene owed her a gift, so it would have been nice if Nene like pulled something out from behind the couch, but that didn't happen.
Nene made a lot of missteps this reunion.
I think so. But she looked good.
Of course.
Who was your best dressed?
I think Candy. I really liked Candy's gold dress. Very beautiful.
I'm going to give it to Portia. She's been my MVP for every other episode of the reunion, so I'm giving it to her. I thought her hair looked great. I loved her dress. And I also love that she was, like, kind of throwing her hat in the ring as, like, I could moderate and host these too, Andy, when she's like, well, wait a minute, I have one more question about something. I was like, okay.
She's like, Candy, are we cool?
Yeah, I was like, I wouldn't mind seeing Portia hosting some, like, other reunions, like, outside of Atlanta. I think that could be interesting. Well, speaking of Portia, we also have The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Portia's having a baby special, which is premiering on Sunday, April 28th at 8, 7 Central. So I think, you know, we've seen a lot of Portia's sort of fairy tale life this season, like the engagement, she's pregnant, like all of these really happy things. But this definitely takes a more in-depth look at the kind of issues that she faces with Dennis and his parents, the whole thing. So that should be really interesting.
Can't wait. You know, we hear a lot about self-care these days, and whether that means for you getting a massage or binging your favorite reality TV show, nothing is as invaluable as talking to a trained professional.
For those of you who might feel like you don't have someone to talk to, if there's something that's interfering with your happiness, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can get help on your own time, at your own pace, schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus you can chat and text with your therapist.
These licensed professionals are specialized in things like depression, anxiety, trauma, LGBT matters, and anything you share with them is confidential.
There are over 3,000 licensed therapists across all 50 states, and there's 4 different ways you can communicate: text, chat, phone, or video.
BetterHelp is available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps.
Plus, financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, it's affordable.
Best of all, it is truly an affordable option. Bravo TV's The Daily Dish listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code DISH. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/dish.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/dish. Real Housewives of New York City, Tinsley and Scott have broken up.
Again.
We're officially done and broken up.
No.
Yeah. So.
I mean, look, I'm okay with it. Based on what we saw last week and her sort of freaking out about the game of truth or dare and can't call Scott.
But do you think that was enough for her to really truly go home that night and call him and break up with him?
No.
I think she was kind of like, you need to come to New York or we have to be done. And he was like, then we're done. Part of me thinks she was like maybe lying.
Why do you think that?
Because I feel like she's been very cautious about how much she's talked about Scott this season. And because they are on and off so much and the other women have been so critical, I feel like she was like, let me take this opportunity to like fake a breakup so they just stop asking me about it.
I could be biased because I've watched ahead.
Okay, fair.
But I will say she goes on a date and like there's kissing. Oh, so,
kissing. Tinsley.
So I don't know.
Where does she stand with Scott today? Do we even know?
No idea.
Oh, boy.
And I only say no idea because, like, I remember for a while there, it was every other day. It was like, they're back on. Right. They're off. They're back on. They're off.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're in an off period right now.
Yes.
But Tinsley, aside from the breakup, gets to join the circus. But I'm happy that Tinsley's getting back into her lifestyle here in New York that she's wanted to be back in.
It's an interesting choice for sure.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I did a little bit appreciate that it was giving me a little bit of the like Britney Spears circus era vibes. Like, oh, I was like, okay, like right. That is a great era of Britney that I really do appreciate. And so I was like, okay, let's like channel that, Tinsley. And Dorinda too, with like the swinging and the trapeze. I was like, okay, these ladies can pull this off.
Well, and I know you have some other thoughts about Britney.
I do. And it has to do with the Free Britney movement that's happening right now. And it's kind of all over social media. It launched last week because there was some kind of voicemail from a paralegal that was leaked about, you know, Britney's camp sort of keeping her trapped at this mental facility. It's a whole thing. And there's a lot of people who are getting behind it, including Roni's own Luann.
Wait, but I haven't heard this voice memo. What did it say?
It's really, so it's from the, and allegedly, a paralegal who worked at the law firm that was in charge of Britney's conservatorship, because basically her dad, who is allegedly very ill, and that was sort of the reason that she canceled the domination part of the Vegas tour or the Vegas residency. So this paralegal calls into a Britney's fan podcast and basically says, she's been in a mental health facility since January. Her, you know, the pure camp is basically keeping her under a tight leash. She's off the meds that she is supposed to be on. She's refusing to take new ones. So there's all sorts of kind of really crazy conspiracy theories out there, but it's also kind of feels like it's rooted in some kind of truth. And a couple celebrities have already come out to speak for it as well. We had Eve, I think, on The Talk, wore a Free Britney shirt, and most recently Luann in the last, I think over the weekend or just the end of last week, posted a video with a Free Britney hashtag being like, she's on board with this whole, like, somebody help her. So I don't really know what action we can take other than sort of like talking about it and maybe using the hashtag, but that's the tea.
Maybe we need a Finding Britney Spears a la Finding Richard Simmons podcast.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, as of today, actually, a picture just was released of her leaving a hotel with her boyfriend, Sam. But I guess this is supposed to be a day that she's out from the facility. It's like allowed, but it's just, it's weirdly timed given the whole like attention that it's been getting. So knowing that like, oh my God, there's this Free Britney hashtag. And then all of a sudden like, oh, paparazzi pictures of her have been taken. Like it feels very 2007, like scary times. You know what I mean?
But back to our regularly scheduled
But anyway, Tinsley has joined the circus. Britney, we love you. Stay strong. So I guess next week we'll see more of that actual like circus experience that Tinsley has.
The biggest part of this episode for me, of course, is that Mario makes his return. And by the way, in rare form, he shows up with Turtle Time mementos, True Faith t-shirts.
He was ready.
It was a little sad.
It was. But like, he looked really good.
Well, but that's the thing. He's always looked good.
Right, right.
It is his blessing and his curse.
What do you think about his renewable marriage proposal?
Because what was it every...
He basically told his ex-wife that, like, he thinks every, 7 years, you should reevaluate and say, okay, well, we had a great 7 years. What do you think about re-upping.
I got a new rule.
Oh, what's the new rule?
The new rule is it should be a renewable contract.
What does that mean?
Like, you get married every 7 years or so, you say, okay, are we going to renew the contract of marriage? I think it's a good idea.
It's like a subscription, so to speak.
So I've heard this before.
Okay.
I remember Gretchen Rossi talked about this on Real Housewives of Orange County. I was listening to this other podcast, and it was someone who made the same point, and Ira Glass, who was hosting, pointed out. But isn't that the point of marriage, is that you don't have to worry in 7 years that someone's going to leave you?
A little bit, right?
Right.
I mean, you're married, so you can speak to this more than, like, I could. But it kind of feels like that's sort of what a marriage is like, well, yeah, we made the choice already. Do we have to keep making it every 7 years?
Yeah, like if you want to leave me, you will have to get the government involved.
Right. Well, it seems like Ramona is not on board with the renewable marriage thing. So
it's also in poor taste to say that to your ex-wife,
right,
who you cheated on.
Right. Yeah. Take your true faith tees and your turtle time knickknacks and get out of here.
And like, look, I know it's probably nice for Avery that her parents can be friends. But for me, I have a hard time watching her be so cool with him.
I also really, really appreciated the editing during the like Dorinda confrontation at the spa day, where she was like, no, you moved tables, like you were supposed to be sitting with me, and Ramona was like refusing to accept that she like messed that up. And then the editing kept going back and being like, table 62, and she's like, they told me table 61. Okay,
Ramona Singer, same as Dorinda, right? Let me do the recipe on this.
Yeah, you guys are at the same table.
62. All right, 62. Do you know where 62 is?
They gave me a card that said 61.
No matter what.
They gave me a card that said 61.
All right, 62. Do you know where 62 is?
That was insane, and that's so Ramona.
Right.
But the part I can't figure out, does she believe what she's saying?
She must just believe that, like, when she made the choice to move to the new table, like, that was the table she was assigned.
But let me tell you, one housewife I would not physically push ever, even if I'm just trying to be emphatic and make a point, would be Dorinda Medley.
No way.
Ooh, that look in her eyes. She switched real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, first of all, you're wrong, so you can't be the one pushing people. And second of all, not Dorinda. No. And not at a spa day.
We're here to relax.
But also, that was like a very strange room that they were in for a spa day. Like, it was just kind of like an empty apartment.
Yeah.
On like the 57th floor in like Midtown. And it was just like, we're going to be getting our nails done. I was like, where's the like quiet, calm, like dark light, you know? Like, I don't know. I've never been to a spa quite like that.
Right. It's like the beginning of Saw.
Right. Like, Well, in addition to running into Mario at the bar, they also run into an older gentleman suitor who, like, Sonia's kind of talking to or whatever. And Luann starts to blush quite a bit when she runs into him. And there's sort of this little insinuation that something had unfolded between the two of them in the past.
So was Bethany right when she said, you fuck everyone?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain way you look and react when you're confronted with someone that you didn't expect to see, you know? And I feel like that's the way Luann reacted. So who's to say? Well, Sonia had some theories herself in terms of like what could have really happened between them. Maybe it wasn't, you know, all the way.
Luann says she hasn't f***ed him, but we don't know. She probably did. Luann f***s everyone, so. Like a little hand job in the corner or something, I don't know. I have a feeling they did something.
Vanderpump Rules, we are in full engagement party planning mode.
But also bridesmaid picking mode.
Which is like, really, that has to be a very difficult task for anyone. I feel like you can probably relate to Brittany in this situation.
Why?
Well, what was it like for you picking bridesmaids?
I mean, it wasn't all that dramatic to be. I think I really missed the trend of like making that a huge deal, thank God. So, yeah, it wasn't quite so dun dun dun.
Right. I have like a weird opinion on the idea of like a matron of honor.
I wanted to talk to you because Kara is my maid of honor. And I wanted to know if you would be my matron of honor.
because I kind of feel like it's bullshit. Like, I have been through, like, a wedding experience with some friends, and the bride-to-be chose someone to be her, we'll say a maid of honor, but it was technically a man of honor. It was a dude of honor, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then chose someone else who probably should have been that maid of honor role and gave her matron of honor, which is sort of just like, you weren't good enough for the first one, so you're going to get this one.
But it's the same thing.
Is it the same thing?
Yes, it's just that you're a matron if you're already married.
So then you just, like, split the duties with the...
Well, usually people have one or the other.
Yeah, right.
Like, you either just have a matron of honor because your maid of honor is married, or you have a maid of honor because you have a maid of honor that's not married.
But Brittany decided to do both.
Right.
Right, okay. Okay. That's fine. I accept that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, because I feel like it was pretty evident in this episode in particular, the way Brittany was talking about it, is the idea of having a wedding versus getting married. It seems like Brittany is very caught up in the having a wedding side of things.
Right.
But what we've seen with, like, her and Jax going to therapy and everything, there is still a lot for them to go through in terms of, like, having a marriage.
I have to say, hearing Jack say to her father and brother, I will always be number one.
Again, I love Brittany more than anything, but I got to take care of this guy here first. So I'm always going to be number one.
You shouldn't be getting married then, because right. It's literally the opposite of that whole idea.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Jax is not the best with words, and also with, like, the timing of when he says things. Like, I think, especially if he is going through therapy and he is working on becoming a better person, I think, to his point, like, yes, he is always going to have to try to prioritize, like, himself and make sure that he is being a better man for Brittany. But, like, that's the way you have to say it. Like, you have to be like, I will be a better person for her, especially to her whole family, a table of dudes who are ready to, like, pounce on you.
This is Jax's downfall, though, is he is like an animal who's backed into a corner. If he ever feels like someone is coming at him, he will just kind of deflect and say all the bad things to get out of it, right?
Right, yeah.
But it's like, in those moments, just be humble and be like, yeah, I was terrible, and I'll never do it again.
Right. And I mean, it's like, what do you expect Brittany's father and brothers and, like, all of these other male figures around her, what do you expect them to say to you? You know, like, they're going to keep reminding you to be better and to, like, maintain a level of, like, respect that they haven't really seen from you over the years, you know? So as much as I feel like Jax is getting really tired of people telling him that, like, he has to understand and be mature about it and be like, I'm going to keep proving myself. Like, that's what I'm going to keep doing.
Yeah.
That's what he's working on.
So I want to talk about Sheena's date.
Oh, yes. Me too.
That 25-year-old was way hotter than Adam.
Oh, my God. So hot.
And by the way, Adam's cute.
Yeah.
But this guy was hot.
100%.
I don't even know what else to say.
I mean, I really feel like I'm questioning Sheena's motives around this date, because when you're, like, immediately Snapchatting, like, he's cooking me steak and sending it to your friends, like,
who you know are probably with Adam,
right? And so are you doing this just to get back at Adam?
Yes.
Right.
But also, he's not being mature either.
I honestly, like, try not to think about it. That sucks, seeing that. Of course it does. And knowing that she's with another guy right now, like, yeah, that's not it's, like, uncomfortable as but.
And that he's like, yeah, I don't care. Be with other guys. And then the second she is, he's, like, upset about it.
I mean, he continues to be, like, the absolute worst. And part of me really thinks maybe he's in this for the camera time. That he's really not invested in Sheena, even as... Maybe he is as a friend. I really shouldn't question that. But, like, adding the layer of, like, we're also having sex to it. Like, you know, Sheena's like, oh, we're best friends. You don't have sex with your best friend. Like, that's not how it works. And then it's just like seeing him sort of get Lisa involved when like Sheena had sent that picture from Mexico.
That I was
really sort of like
bothered you.
It's just like it feels like he's just trying to further his own narrative in a way.
But don't you think he was genuinely upset when he saw the guy?
Definitely. But like, if that's what it takes for you to like appreciate Sheena, then like you kind of suck already. But I want to know more about Ethan. Like, I really do feel like as much as there's...
Yeah, give Ethan the spinoff. I'll watch that.
Hell, yeah. I mean, I just don't want Sheena to fuck it up. And I feel like maybe she, you know, already has started to. And also just like her approach to the whole situation was like, you ever had a threesome? Like, do we have to go right to the like dirty, sexy details on your first... Well, he's like cooking for you at home. Like, you know, maybe save that for like later on.
Right.
But was this their first date or was this like...
Even so, yeah. I just feel like play it a little bit cooler.
Just a little bit cooler. I have spent a lot of time, I think, this season defending James. And this episode was a little bit of like a breaking point for me where I was just sort of like, you got to give it up, James. Like, stop trying to get this job back. Like, move forward.
You know why, though? Especially for me.
Why?
Because it doesn't seem like, why do you really want to?
Right.
Because you want to be on the show.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like for other people, you know, just looking back at my own career, like we've all had a lot of jobs, a lot of ups and downs, triumphs and failures. And just to see him like continuing to go back and like asking Lisa and like, let me have my job, like just find something else to do and then prove everybody wrong, you know, like find a new gig somewhere, like keep working towards what you want to be doing and find a different vehicle. But like you said, I think maybe he's going back because he knows it's the show.
Yeah.
I do wish you luck, James. Well, speaking of Jax and Brittany, if you go to BravoTV.com, we actually have some coverage of the Great Gatsby-themed bridal shower that Brittany had this past weekend. So check out some of those pics. She looked really cute.
So Jax Taylor, unapologetically, he is my favorite Bravo Daily Dish interviewee, and you'll see why with this interview. He revealed everything you wanted to know about the reunion they shot and more. Guys, we're here with my all-time favorite podcast guest, Jax Taylor.
Yes, I like to hear that. Thank
it's
you.
It's true.
Thank you.
Everyone asks, and I say, oh, it's Jax.
It's because I slip up and say things that I'm not supposed to.
Exactly.
That's why. I'm like a PR person's nightmare.
Right. Like some people come through and they don't need a press person with them.
Right.
You always have a press person with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. It's mandatory, I feel like, with me.
That's
because
fine.
Because I don't know what I'm supposed to say, what I'm not supposed to say. And I just feel like everybody needs to know the truth.
Right. Well, she did give the go ahead that you can talk about the reunion,
okay,
which just aired, right?
Right. It was absolutely obnoxious. In all the years I filmed this show, I've never been part of something so insane. Even watching on other shows, Housewives, I've never seen a reunion go this bad. Well, bad for me, but probably great for the viewer.
Right, because there's a lot of yelling, right?
I just don't like half of it. It's gonna be beeping, and like I got out of my seat in the first 5 minutes.
Ooh!
I think it like literally producers had to come and like hold me back in the first 5 minutes in.
For
it was
who?
Like ding 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 ding. It was like a boxing match. I mean, who do you think?
I'm going to guess James.
Yeah. I mean, I try to keep my cool, you know, try to, you know, be cool, calm
and
relaxed. But it just, man, he just gets me going. His mouth, it just doesn't end.
I mean, you guys had the boys' night at the hotel.
Oh, I didn't invite him. He showed up. That was probably Tom Sandoval's doing. I didn't invite him. I was actually upset when he showed up.
Okay.
Just because it was like, I'm there with my buddies. You know, I wasn't there to like... We're not there to pick up girls. That's why I was so like, me and Bo and I were like, Jesus, man, like, I don't need this. Like, I'm already treading lightly here because of the situation that I was in a couple of years ago. I don't need this guy coming here, bringing girls over to the table. This is not what this is about. This is a guy just hanging out. We all are in relationships.
Yeah.
Let's just have a good time and enjoy each other. Why do we got to go out and like pick up girls? Like, I don't know who the hell I am. I've never used to talk like this, but I'm just tiring. It's tiring.
Okay, well, so even if you weren't besties, I feel like you weren't at each other's throat.
I wasn't at each other's throat, but, you know, it's like one of those people that you have in your group that you're just kind of like, oh, he's coming, you know, kind of just like, oh, you know.
Well, so
you're like, oh, you're on edge when he's around. You're not sure what's going to happen. You don't dislike, you don't hate him, but you don't like him. You're just kind of like, meh.
Well, so what he said was that he felt like you were actually the mastermind behind everyone sort of icing him out this season.
I don't know how I can mastermind. I think he does it to himself. I think it's safe to say that he does it all to himself. How can I mastermind anything? I'm not that intelligent. I mean, I feel like they listen to me a little bit, but I feel like he does it to himself. I don't have to do anything. You can just sit back and watch him unravel. It's interesting, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm at the point now where I don't care what he does or where he is. I just don't. But I kind of feel bad.
Well, so James aside, how was the rest of the reunion?
It was bananas. And it wasn't just James and all that. That was a huge portion of it. But everybody was going at everybody.
Really?
Everybody was held accountable this season. It was a lot lighter for me than other seasons.
I have to imagine, yeah.
But still, I mean, you know, we still get our fair share. I still get my fair share of digs. People still have to come at me for something. And usually after these reunions, we all hang out. Minus James. Usually we all go and get drinks afterwards. It's usually what we do for the last 6 years. No, we didn't do that. Katie and Tom came over to my house afterwards. It was around 12 o'clock when we got home. We ordered Taco Bell, ton of it, and just kind of, did this just happen? We were all like, did this reunion just happen?
Oh.
Nobody talked afterwards. It was weird. It was a weird reunion.
Well, now that you've had, a week or two to process?
Yeah. I mean, even Andy was talking about yesterday. He's like, what a reunion, right? I'm like, have you ever encountered anything like that? He's like, I've had some doozies, but that was up there. He's like, the amount of times he had to say, shut the f*** up.
Yeah.
He had to say that 100 times. And he's like, shut up with people talking over each other and the cursing and all this. It was just, even when their camera, okay, we're taking a 10-minute break. We take 10-minute breaks sometimes. They were just still going at it. It was just like, what? It was the most fighting we had. I mean, all season was, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this was probably the worst compared to all season.
Well, so then since you have
I never saw it coming,
little time to process, are there any cracks you think that are irreparable?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Kristen since then, and that's rare. I talk to everybody every day, regardless if the show's on or not. You guys know that. We all hang out every single day. But it took a toll on her, and it took a toll on Katie. Katie got a little bit of heat, too, from the bullying point of view of everything, and then Billy was on. You know, there was some issues with that. It was crazy. I think Sheena probably had it the easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to move on to the wedding planning.
Okay.
How's it going?
You have to ask Brittany. She's doing it all. She's got a lot of help. She's having a lot of fun doing it. I want to say we're about 85 to 90% done. But then again, you have to ask her because she's kind of does everything. We were going over the invitations in bed last night and they're beautiful. But it's like, even if I don't like it, like, does my opinion really matter?
Nope.
No. That's what she's like. You're not involved. She yelled at me at it. She goes, you're not involved. Okay, I'll be involved. Does it matter if I say I like this or not? She's like, no, not really. Then what is the difference? We like the same thing. We like everything the same. Besides music, we're on the same page with everything.
Well, so it can be a very stressful time for couples. Is this wearing on the relationship at all?
We've gotten to a couple scuffles just because, well, not just because of the wedding. We're planning I'm planning a bachelor party. I bought a house, getting married, talking about kids, still filming a show, still trying to do all this press stuff. It takes a little bit of a toll, you know. And she's planning a wedding, a destination wedding, too. So it takes a little bit of a toll. I have to ease back a little bit. I have to understand where, you know, she stresses out. She has a lot of help, but still it's stressful.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, and are you still feeding the hog?
Yeah.
I think I threw up in my mouth when I heard that expression.
I don't know where that came from. That was pretty disturbing thing. Yes, I am still feeding the hog.
Okay, great. Good, good, good. So tell me about the house.
It was time to buy a house. I just didn't want to come back from my wedding and move back into an apartment.
Right.
You know, I was like, that's not what we want to do. Because we were going to wait till after the wedding to look for a house. But I thought, you know what, I don't want to move back into an apartment. Do you, after being married, after all that, and then move back into that? No. So we found a house, very farm style, very Brittany and very me. I love it. Very like a Cape Cod type house. It's beautiful. I'm so excited.
Where is it?
It's in the Valley.
Okay.
It's about 15 minutes drive from, we live in West Hollywood. So it's about a 15 minute drive. Not too bad. But we're over the hill now.
Okay.
So.
Are you nearish Sandoval?
We're all near each other. We're all on a mile away. So Tom Schwartz and Katie are here. Tom Sandoval and Ariana. And then myself. And then I think, don't quote me on this, I think Stassi, or Kristen too. Kristen's down the street. She bought a house. And then Stassi's looking too. So everybody's doing it at the same time.
That's crazy.
We all want to have kids at the same time. So it's all of our, that's why people don't get it. They're like, wait a minute, you all, well, we're really friends. This is not, the show is there, but we're all still friends regardless of the show.
Right.
Yeah,
but I think your friendships are like different maybe than the norm.
They are. They're very incestual. I live with these people. These people are like my brothers, my sisters. When this show's gone, they're still going to be around. You know, they're standing at my wedding. They're going to be there when my kids are born. And so when we hurt each other on the show, it actually hurts. It's not some kind of like, well, fuck this person. It's just a show. No, I have to deal with this person for the rest of my life.
You know, we talked to Sandoval a bit, and I was kind of asking about the bachelor party. And he was like, you know, Jax's whole life has sort of been a bachelor party, so it'll probably actually be calm.
I want it to be calmer just because, but my friends are degenerates. So
yeah.
It's going to be crazy. And Tom is kind of taking the back seat on it, and Randall's kind of taking over.
What? Oh, I feel
so
like
he's
be
like,
good
Jax,
then.
You know how Randall, I don't know if you know Randall. He's very crazy. Jax, we're getting a yacht. We're doing this and we're getting this club and we're going to be here. And I'm like, we're going to this strip club. And I'm like, okay, I guess you're taking over. But my friends, some of them are single and they want to have a good time. If I planned it, it would be boring. Just because I'm not boring anymore, but I've definitely calmed down a lot. The things I like to do aren't as fun as they used to be, but I think I'm going to step it up for the bachelor party for sure.
Mm. I mean, for the fans, I think you owe it to us.
I do owe it to you. Listen, my craziness is still there. It doesn't just go away. It's like people say, well, you're new, you're reformed. No, he's there. He's still there. Don't trust me. He's not going anywhere. He's just got to be put away sometimes. And I'm going to let him loose.
Yeah.
Next season a little bit. Yeah.
Tell me about the Mexico trip. I just want to know what it was like for you actually being there.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, we're just seeing it on the show.
Right. Where are you guys at right now? That's the Mexico trip? Sorry, I don't watch the show.
I know, Jax. You always tell us.
I know. They yell at me for that because I don't know where we are. And then they start talking about things. And I'm like, I forget.
So you guys just came back from the Mexico trip.
Okay.
But it was really over the top crazy, it seemed.
Yes. It was a lot of fun. I think it was the best trip we've taken because of the group we were with. But it got a little heated towards the end. You know, we put some alcohol in Mexico and people start talking, true feelings start to come out and how you really feel starts to come out. And I may have said some things that I probably shouldn't have with Kristen and James and hooking up in Mexico. But I think all in all, it was a good trip. The girls definitely had fun.
I mean, Kristen and Ariana made out.
I know. Who would have thought? I mean, I would have never in a million years would have saw that coming. Never in a million years. But it just goes to show you, everybody can change.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if you haven't watched, I mean, can you even tell us what to expect for the rest of the season?
The frickin' puppy party. I mean.
Potty.
She had a flyer made. She had a flyer. It was four people she was inviting. You don't need to make a flyer. Send a text. Hey, I'm having a party, you know, with our dogs. You want to come? Cool. I probably would have been more engaging if she would have done that. But the fact that you come up like during a shift at Sir, by the way, can I talk to you about something? Sure. What's going on? I'm working. Is everything okay? Well, I'm having a puppy party. I'm like a puppy party. I'm like, how am I supposed to not say anything? And they're all like looking at me like, Jax, be nice. I'm like, you're making it really easy for me here. Yeah, I mean, you're just throwing them up, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'm like, a puppy party? I'm 39 years old. I'm trying to work here to save money, and, you know, and you're asking me if I can go to a puppy party in the middle of the week? What are we, not in kindergarten? Who has a puppy party? Is that a real thing?
I personally have not been invited to one or thrown one.
Would you go to one? I mean, is it something that people our age do? I don't know how old you guys are, but I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm old fashioned or I'm old school. I wouldn't go to, even right. If Brittany threw a puppy party, I'm not going to that. But I just thought it was a bit weird, a puppy party.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have had more respect for her if she said, listen, I'm just going to break it down. And then said, listen, this.
So I want to know what your predictions for next season will be, if there is one, God willing.
If there is one. Well, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
I'm turning 40.
Whoa.
I'm having a bachelor party.
Nice.
There's a bachelorette party. I'm moving into a house. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I'm turning 40 and getting married. That's a big thing right there. Jax is turning 40 and getting married. I'm getting married, and then within like less than a month, I turn 40.
Which is more scary to you?
Getting married is not scary to me. I'm with my best friend. I love her to death. So it's just, I'm not, if I said it's just another day, she'll kill me. But to me, it's just another day. You know, like I'm just signing a piece of paper saying, hey, we're going to be together forever. But the turning 40 is a little scary. 40 scares me. Because I remembered celebrating my mom and dad's 40th. So now I'm like, oh my God, I'm that old. And I don't have kids yet. That scares me more.
Yeah, but you're going to get there soon.
I know, right away.
Can't wait.
Me either.
Thank you, Jax. This was great.
Thank you.
We also got to sit down with Alan and Idan Allende from Mexican Dynasties, and they were so much fun. They had a little bit of a sibling rivalry going on during the interview that you guys will hear, but they talked a lot about Don's dating life, what Alan's been doing with Jenny, his wife, in terms of a new single and a tour coming up. So here's that interview. We are here with Alan and Idan Allende from Mexican Dynasties. Hi, guys. So, Idan, I have to ask, are you still living at home? Is the Allende tripod still together?
The Allende tripod is still together, although we are extending the tripod into the quad pod, quintapod.
There's kids now. There's
Elon, seven. Oh, wow, Jenny, yeah. And the
septapod.
Yeah.
Septapod is...
We're growing legs here.
Is burgeoning. Right.
No more kids for me. He's got to have, like, yeah...
You know, I'm just living the single life, getting to know.
I'm not
going to
be an uncle
just dating.
Yet.
Right, right. So you guys are going to be moving in too? It's going to be a full house again?
Hell no.
Everyone needs their own space, but I'm going to stay with my parents as long as I can because I like traveling with them. I work with them. My mom's my manager. My dad's my mentor. So
yeah.
Enjoy
it as long
as I can.
I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. Right. Alan has a great path. Alan has a great path, and I respect it. And I respect the fact that he's going out on his own and doing it for himself. It's really props to you, bro.
Well, Jenny, I mean, she's really, it's like a strong pillar, too, you know.
Behind every great man is a great woman.
Sure. I was hoping Jenny would be here today.
I wanted her to come.
We miss her. Jenny, if you're listening, we love you.
I really wanted her to come, but I was like, grr.
Yeah.
I was like, Mom,
Yeah, we miss her. We love you, Jenny.
Idan, are you still using an astrologer to help guide yourself in the music world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. An astrologer once told me that I write songs that people like. And I believed him. And
yes, you did.
I started writing songs. And the reciprocity has been so good, especially from my mother.
And father?
She's my number one fan. But like I wrote a song with Ricky Martin's producer in the reality show called Nunca Me Sueltes, Don't Let Me Go. I just did the music video. So I'm really stoked. I'm really excited. Stoked. It's like super, super
the
California.
The video's nice. The new video's nice. That's
so stoked, bro. It's like sweet. Like it's Richter. Like my video. I filmed it in Cali, like in the Hollywood Hills, and then on the Santa Monica Pier, bro.
Whoa.
You know, it's going to be sexy.
That's cool. And you just released a new single too, didn't you?
Yes. Sorry.
Tell us about that.
Well, we just released our Chambaya, which is a group between of comprised of Jenny and I.
Right.
We released our single Al Derecho y Al Revés, which is on all the platforms, on Spotify.
Great
on
song. super urban, super danceable.
And the video is nice and like hot.
What's it like working with Jenny?
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's odd because she has all of the strengths that are my weaknesses and vice versa. So we kind of complement each other. She kind of helps me. She picks me up when I'm down and vice versa. And I pick her up when she's down. It's important to have a teammate, I think.
Yeah. Are you planning to go on tour at all?
Yeah, we actually have a tour in Texas with Ivy Queen next month.
And the kids will come with you too?
No, the kids stay with the in-laws and Annie. And then we go for a week and then we come back.
Got it. Do you like the tour life? Is that kind of a fun experience or do you prefer home life?
I like both. I think there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
You know, there's a moment like... I don't know. Like when I'm in Mexico, I want to come to Miami. When I'm in Miami, I want to go to Mexico. I mean,
right.
I don't know. It's just, I guess the nature of the business.
Yeah.
You just want to,
I mean, my dream is to tour the world and travel the world and speak every possible language possible.
Right.
I just said possible twice, but it's.
But it made sense. It worked within the context of the sentence.
Thank you. I got your back. Yeah. I love you.
Do you have any dating advice for your brother? We saw you and Jenny setting him up with one of her friends, Maria, I believe. So what advice would you give your brother?
I think I've always told you this, just be very true to yourself and be true and honest and straightforward and don't hide anything because it's just going to bite you in the ass, man.
Yeah, but show your best side at the beginning.
Right.
Well, yeah, you can't always.
That's how you get them.
Show the perfect side.
I didn't show the perfect side with Jenny at the beginning. I always use that as like, you know.
He was real. I mean,
was like, that was my first filter. I was like, if she can't take this, it's not worth it. Like I was already, I was ready to find somebody, you know. So I don't know.
And have you spoken to Maria since you guys met?
Yes, we're still in talking terms.
Yes.
We're on good terms. Okay. I mean, we're long distance, but there's a possibility.
But mommy made you leave the party.
No, I make my own decisions, but I mean...
Now you do.
There's a possibility of us getting together in the future. The long distance makes it difficult for it to happen now, but we're on really good terms, so... Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Rihanna recently commented she is a fan of
I'm
the show?
Flipping out.
I'm so honored.
Flipping out. I'm going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. She's like not a closeted Bravo fan, but once in a while she'll like pop into our social media and be like, I love Vanderpump Rules. And we're like, oh my God, she loves Vanderpump Rules. And just see that
she love
her
music.
Right?
So I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you guys collaborate with Rihanna? Could you imagine?
Please.
Bad Girl Riri, we want you.
What would be the name of the song that you would write for Rihanna?
The name of the song would be, Walking on Top of Sunshine.
What? Isn't it like Walking on Sunshine?
Or it could be just...
You just added the top.
Or it could be Don't Stop Breathing.
It's just like Don't Stop Believing. You're just pulling like old 80s songs and renaming them.
I thought of that last night. Yeah.
I
think we just got to take it step by step.
Don't Stop Breathing. I could hear it. It's like... Don't Stop Breathing. I hear it.
We're going to send her that sample and
send
see what
it.
She says.
Okay.
Do you guys feel any pressure sort of living in the shadow of your dad's legacy, or do you feel like that works to your advantage?
I feel we both have different answers to that question.
Okay,
okay,
you go
good.
First. You go first. I'll go first. sometimes I feel like, oh my God, everybody's giving him attention. And at the Andy Cohen show yesterday, Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, he just showed how wonderful of a person he is. Because Andy Cohen walked up to him and he said, Fernando, I want you to be a mixologist with Alon and Jenny on the show. And my dad says, you know what? Thank you, Andy. But this is these are my son's moments to shine. And Andy says, wow, you're an amazing father.
Wow. Okay, what's your answer?
Well, mine goes back in time to when I was a child. So I respect him, love him. He's always been there for us. He's guided us. But I found that when you have a different opinion than him, and he has experience, vast experience within that concept or whatever you want to call it, then whatever I have is discredited.
That's interesting because we saw on last week's episode when it was your mom and Doris talking about what your outfit was going to be when you performed.
Yeah.
And your dad kind of had the opposite reaction. He was like, well, we have to trust some people and their perspective. And it was your mom who was sort of like, this is how we've always done it. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, maybe
it's,
he's progressed. I'm just, again, when I was doing the personal interviews for the show, I'm just expressing, you know, what I experienced as in my childhood and in the present moment at certain times. And, I mean, he obviously, like anybody, has the right to evolve and better.
I mean, our mother is a very outspoken woman, very character-driven, and she gets what she wants. And I have many female matriarchal figures in my life like that. So I'm used to a loud woman. And, hey, if I end up marrying long time from now, a woman that is like my mother with that strong, just loud, outspoken quality, I'm already used to it.
Yeah. Now, what about between the two of you? Do you feel like there's a bigger sense of sibling rivalry because you're both musicians, or?
I mean, Ilan feels that, you'll take this one.
Yeah, because you can't say what Ilan feels, right?
Yeah, you go for it. I'll let you take this.
Wait, what was the question? I was too focused on him.
It was more so like, you know, the relationship with your father, obviously, mm-hmm. because of his career. But between the two of you as siblings, you know, there's always sibling rivalry. But
I think it's unconscious. Yeah. I think that it's nature. You see it in animals. You see it in humans. It's normal. You know, it's like
dominance.
You're growing together, and as you evolve through life together, this your only point of reference is your brother or your sister, if you have one. Am I better or am I worse than them? And it's completely unconscious. I think that everybody does it, and then it transfers over to society,
Between Alon and I, we've always had a perfect relationship, and we're brothers, and we've always.
But we still compete.
Listen,
would snowboard, skateboard.
We've always worked good together. And the only sibling rivalry that happens is when other people start talking about it, and I don't like that to pollute our relationship. Because we work so good
FYI,
together.
In the show, what was happening, dude. If we resolved it during the course of the show or after
the
show.
We have a great communication.
And we've come to have a great communication.
Yeah, we
love each other. We've gotten to this point because we've worked for it.
I think siblings that work together are stronger. And
I can't work with you, bro. Much respect. I tried to write songs with you, and then you dominate the whole thing. I have things
to improve on, but I'm willing to get better, and I have intentions of working with my brother, and
Jenny.
Hopefully, yeah. I was about to say, I've been talking countless times about doing a duet with Shambaya, and I look forward to working with Alon and Jenny because I love them. I know Jenny treats me like a little brother. She
looks at you like a little brother. Her little brother
she loves
died.
Me. She loves me like a little brother. It was a tragic death. But we don't want to talk about that. There was a moment in the episode. I'm not going to spoiler alert, but I just want to say that Alon and Jenny have always been there for me. And they're my brother and sister, and they'll always be there for me, and I love them. Despite whatever happens between my mother and father and them, I have a phenomenal relationship with Alon and Jenny. And they're my brother and sister, and together we're stronger, and I can't wait to work with them.
I love that. Now, we have a new show coming out called Texicana. So do you guys have any advice for that cast, given what you've experienced since the start of the show?
I think the best advice is just be genuine, be yourself.
Totally.
Just be real.
Don't try and, alter the timeline or, manipulate, because you will fail miserably.
It's very true. Now, how into magic is your mom? Because we've heard some things on the show about her being into...
She just likes giving people amulets and stuff. And
yeah.
So I am going to discard that and say it's erroneous and incorrect because I live with her 24/7. She's a very spiritual woman. She is all love. She's all light. She prays every day. And she's one of the best women I know. And she loves me and Alon equally. And she will always be there for us. And she always has been. And
but she's got to tone down the mother hen
syndrome. Of course. We both agreed that she's a very intense, outspoken woman. which I like outspoken women because they're driven.
We're living in a society. I love my mom. I love you, but you're too intense.
I mean, we're living in a society where women. I mean, the statistic is that there's more women in universities than men right now, and especially in the Western society,
You can't justify that she's controlling it.
I'm not justifying. I'm just saying that I support women that have drive.
You went to the broad perspective. We're focusing on one woman, which is I love her again, but she's very controlling,
but
very manipulative.
But this is a whole entire movement that's happening.
No, I'm not talking about the woman movement. No, I'm talking about mom is controlling, and whether she wants to face it or not, it was conveyed on the show.
But we have to love her, and I love my mom unconditionally.
They're two separate topics. Everybody, love for your mother. Okay, we're done.
Everybody has positive and negative qualities, and as long as you focus on the positive qualities, you can have a fruitful relationship with the person.
How is her relationship with Doris now? Because we saw some tension with them on the show, just given, you know, who was kind of helping you with your career. So how are the two of them now?
Right now, we just went out with Doris to a dinner. To an Italian restaurant with her husband and her son. Her son and I, he's a philosopher, I'm an intellectual. We hit it off. We go partying together. He's my wingman.
Is that the one near Pacific Palisades?
Yeah, he's
so good.
His name is Nathan Dorenbaum. I just feel that we've really rekindled the relationship and the friendship. And this whole entire reality show has helped us to grow as people.
Definitely.
And
strengthen the relationships, too.
And just come closer together. And everybody is so mature that we're able to say, you know what? I might have made mistakes in the show. I did stuff that I regretted, but I care about you. And let's make this work.
Yeah. So can you tell our listeners, everyone who's seen the show, including everyone here, we all love it and we feel like there's something very special about it. So can you tell our listeners, each of you, sort of what it is about the show that makes it so special so anyone who's listening who hasn't seen can watch?
Well, I find that the show has a very peculiar quality where they're able to capture, or you guys, Bravo, has been able to capture just the beauty of Mexico City. And I feel like people in Mexico City have not been able to even, like, witness all of that compiled into one show. Because you have these beautiful drone shots of just the pyramids, the Xochimilco, the parks. I mean, the food is intense. The culture. I mean, I love the place. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd like to add to what you're saying. He's totally right. I mean, it's like we like to say, it's a tastemaker's dream. Mexico City's hot right now. Arr, caliente. Let's go have some tequila. We got fashion. We got unique restaurants. We got phenomenal museums. And, you know.
And you might run into us.
Right. Of course.
It's the place to be. It's the place
or Oscar.
To be.
Or anybody. Anyway.
Right. I love Oscar.
I think.
What really makes our show stand out, and I felt that we've really had good reciprocity from the crowds, is that it's a really relatable show. Not only the genuinity,
the
genuineness.
Is that a word?
We'll just flow with it.
The fact that it's genuine?
We'll edit it.
The fact that it's genuine.
There you go.
The fact that it's genuine and real. And
really
all
relatable.
Our friends are saying, this is really you. It's so fun to watch because this is the Allendas that
we know. Our friends, they call us like, oh my God, I can't believe that they actually were able to convey you guys so perfectly.
And you're right. And I wanted to just end it on, it's so relatable because it's multi-generational. And we go back so far with the Besudos and the Madrazos. And we're so rooted in our culture. And I think that we're getting such a good response here in Latin USA, especially from the Latinos, because we're millennials that speak English and Spanish, and we love our roots. And
there's a lot of us like that, man. Yeah. Where we transition between Spanish and English very easily.
So we're bringing in a big group of people, and I want to say thank you to Bravo for being so open-minded and giving us the opportunity to shine a new light on Mexico City or and on Latinx.
Yeah, the whole Latin community
in general. Yeah. To shine a new light that hasn't been seen in the mainstream media. This isn't how every Mexican lives in our dynasty, but we're showing that we're not just what has been portrayed so far.
It's not that bad on the other side of the wall.
Right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank
we love
you for
the show.
Opportunity.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Love you guys.
Okay, Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
What was your rose?
Okay, so my rose was in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Kyle is showing Teddy the bridesmaid dress that Camille has picked. And she's really upset because it's cap-sleeved.
Oh, my God. Camille got a picture of the dress.
Oh, the bridesmaid dress?
It's a cap-sleeve. It's a pretty dress, but a cap-sleeve is not my friend.
I have to say, I even have been blessed with, like, very thin arms, but you put a cap sleeve on me, it is not flattering.
That's so funny. I had that in my notes to ask you because I was, like, so kind of surprised by their reaction because I was like, oh, what a cute dress. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, God. And I was like, what?
Cap sleeves, I think, are the hardest to pull off.
Do you think that was a strategic move by Camille?
1,000%.
Okay, fair.
I also just didn't love the dress. Like, I just didn't think it was that cute.
I thought it was kind of cute, but
whatever. What was your rose?
My rose was Denise Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, just kind of laying out her personal business, like, without even, like, thinking twice about it. Like, she was like, yeah, Charlie Sheen spent $100 million, lost it all. I don't know what happened. Like, I would have taken 50, kept it in a bank, would have been fine.
Poor bastard. How do you blow all that money? He should have given me half of that goddamn money because I would have put it away for him.
Like, I was just sort of like, damn, like, good for her. I mean, I guess at this point in her life and in her career, you know, so much has been out there about her in the press that she sort of is just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, let me just talk about it. But also, like, $100 million? How do you spend all of that? What was your thorn?
My thorn was, again, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It was this PK comment to Kyle at the Boy George concert where he was basically like, well, Kyle, seeing as how you can't even like get along with your best friend, maybe you are in trouble.
You could have issues. You can't even get on with your best friend, so you could have issues.
Now, I believe PK did mean it as a joke, but again, if he had just been a little bit more humble and right away been like, hey, no, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm really sorry. And so he was like, it's a joke. It's called a joke, babe. That's not okay. That's not an apology. And you hurt her feelings.
Right. And this idea of like British humor keeps coming up every season, I feel like, with them. And it's sort of like, okay, well then, you know, maybe just like recognize that in certain company, that kind of sense of humor doesn't work. And he should know better by now that in the company of these women, it's not going to fly.
And by the way, you just got Dorit into a ton of shit. And like, she's telling you it's not funny, PK.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
PK.
She's yelling at Teddy, and now, like, everybody's, like, a whole... They were having such a good night
I know.
until that moment.
What was your thorn?
Also, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it was that very strange segment where it was, like, leading into Villa Rosa, and it was, like...
Oh, God.
...weird sex talk that Lisa was giving, and then
I
it was just her, like...
You.
Oh, God, and it was her just, like, feeding the dog, and I was just kind of, like...
Brushing the dog.
This was gratuitous. Like, we didn't need this to happen right now. Like, if you wanted to show us where Lisa was, just, like, show us doing that.
You like it, don't you?
You do.
You like it? Yes. I worship you.
What would I do without all of my little fairy children?
We didn't need the sex talk.
Oh, you like that, don't you?
That was a pretty good impression.
Thanks.
Next week, we have an interview with Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules, and she talked about the crazy reunion, what inspired her to wear the ratchet dress that she wanted to wear. She also talked a little bit about how Britney asked her off camera to be a bridesmaid and how emotional her mom got when she found out she was going to be in the wedding. And she also reminisces about performing a monologue for the one and only Al Pacino.
What?
Yeah, that's next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.